This is Foul Players Radio, your podcast for arts, entertainment, and pop culture. Welcome. My name is Michael Spedden, your host. Every episode features fun, fascinating stories about people in the performing arts, actors, authors, dancers, writers, musicians, athletes, you name it. Folks who are center stage, backstage, on camera, or behind the scenes. Sit back and listen. Let's have some fun. Foul Players Radio is a proud production of the Foul Players Group and the official podcast of the Foul Players of Perryville.
Hello, my name is Gunhild Carling, and you are listening to Foul Players Radio, and I am interviewed here, so tune in.
Hey, Mary Jo Peel here, and you are listening to Foul Players Radio.
This is Kathy Ladman, and you're listening to Foul Players Radio, the place where you get all of your good news information. Not really, but it's just a great show.
Hey, folks, Michael Spedden here. Welcome to another episode of Foul Players Radio. Tonight's guest for Season 10, Episode 4, is Greg Sinners. Greg is a longtime friend and a veteran musician, and he has written some new material that he's released. The songs are called All the Madmen at Play, I Knew All Your Dreams, and Irish Rain. He recorded them with a wonderful ensemble of musicians and singers he put together. Greg performs guitar, piano, and bass on these songs. Jim Fitzpatrick, Robin Osick, and Jim Osick do all the vocals. Eddie Haywood is the drummer. And John Grant of Secret Sound recorded them all. And this is really good material. You can find them on Greg Sinners' YouTube channel at Greg Sinners 4534. Or look for Greg Sinners with the purple G, as we were saying in the episode itself, to find this material. I will also put links in the show notes so you can click on it and find these videos to watch and listen to. Excellent stuff. The Foul Players of Perryville will be performing on the Western Maryland Scenic Railroad on March 4th. That's a Saturday. The show will be I Know What You Did Last St. Patrick's Day. Tickets are available at www.wmsr.com. You can follow Foul Players Radio on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We even have our new YouTube page, at Foul Players Radio. Come there and subscribe. Hit that subscribe button and like our videos and tell all your friends to do so too. That'll help us out a great deal. Also, no matter what platform you listen to us on, and there are quite a few as you can see here, be sure to go there and give us a nice review and an honest write-up. We hope to see you at our show on March 4th on Western Maryland Scenic Railroad. And keep listening, folks. We really appreciate the feedback, and we have a lot of great guests in the queue for you. So we will be right back with Greg Sinners right after these words, folks. Stick around. Hey, folks, the Chorus of the Chesapeake is having their second annual Bull and Shrimp Roast. To benefit the chorus, it's going to be on Sunday, May 21st, 2023, from 1 to 5 p.m. at Superior Catering Hall, 1010 South Oldham Street in Baltimore, Maryland, 21224. Tickets are $50 each. There will be a cash bar available. No BYOB or coolers will be allowed in. For more information and tickets, contact Bob Mattis at 410-435-1947. We hope to see you there. And folks, welcome back. It's another episode of Foul Players Radio. And tonight we have a past guest coming back. He's been doing some more writing and recording of original material. He's got a good ensemble of people together that have been there with him appearing on these recordings, and it's sounding great. So, Greg Sinners, welcome back to the show, bud. It's good to see you again.
Good to be back.
So it looks like, you know, you've got your own YouTube channel here. You've got, you know, a number of videos on here, not only from your current material. You know, we talked a lot previously about the other bands you've been in over the years, but it looks like I'm seeing, you know, three new songs that are up with the current ensemble of people that you're working with here. So tell us what you have.
I have a vocalist, Robin Osick, mm-hmm. and then another co-vocalist, Jim Fitzpatrick, mm-hmm. And then Robin's husband, he does some backing vocals. He plays guitar himself, but he doesn't play in this group. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have a formal group. And I have a drummer,
Ed, right?
Mm-hmm. Ed Haywood. But I play all the guitar parts and the bass parts and the keyboard parts and everything that is an orchestral piece. Of course, I play it on a keyboard that emulates those sounds.
Oh, right, right,
so,
right.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, the, in on the song All the Mad Men at Play, there's a picture there, a group picture. And yeah, you would get the impression it's a full band.
Right, right,
But it's really, it's two lead singers, a backup singer, a drummer, and then I do all the other stuff.
It sounded great. I really enjoyed listening to it, and I've been rolling it myself here a number of times, you know, listening to it, and very well done, very well done.
Thank you.
As your material is, you know, I know how much, you know, concentration and how focused you are in the studio. And I would expect nothing less than this quality from you. It was very, very, you know, excellent to listen to. Jim Fitzpatrick. I mean, what can you say about Jimmy? I mean, you know, golden throat.
Yeah.
Excellent vocals.
Mm-hmm.
I've not met the Osics, but I have heard them on your material, and just top of the line as well. Top of the line as well. Yeah. And, your drummer too. All the Mad Men at Play was your most recent. Did you want to discuss that one first?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Okay, sure. Sure. Yeah.
What the song is about the endless wars and confrontations that we are involved in. And what was the inspiration? What really kind of set me off on it was the withdrawal from Afghanistan, which was long overdue, number one.
Mm-hmm.
But we spent 20 years there and still lost. And I thought, what did we accomplish? 20 years, an untold number of people killed on both sides, and unbelievable amount of money pissed down the drain, and nothing to show for it after 20 years. I don't care what side of the political spectrum someone is on. That's not acceptable. It's not acceptable for a country to spend 20 years in an endless war.
Yeah.
And then still lose. And this is not something that can be laid at the feet of one administration. I mean, this went all the way through George Bush, went through Obama, it went through Trump, one term of Trump. So it's not like you can say, well, this is a particular political party that's responsible, that's solely responsible for this. It's not. It's all of them. And then, of course, the question comes up is who's controlling them? And that's what the point of the song is. The military-industrial complex. And at the beginning of the video, there's a famous quote that Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, made when he was leaving office as president, you know, warning the people of the influence of the military-industrial complex. And that's what the song is about. Mm-hmm. All the Mad Men at Play.
I see exactly where you're coming from on that. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I really just think, you know, if a country is going to make the decision, you know, if war turns out to be that's, you know, the action they're going to take, you know, it's got to be done correctly. You know, it can't linger on. I just, you know, it just almost seems like you don't want to have, you know, well, let's stick around another year so we can sell more of this or that, you know.
Yeah. I think anyone would agree.
Right.
20 years. 20 years is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look back in time, even Vietnam, we had active combat troops there for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Now, we had troops for longer than that there, but actual combat troops were introduced in 65, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And they pulled out in 75. Yeah. And can you find somebody today that thinks Vietnam was a good idea?
Right.
You know, trying to find, because the country went to communist, and that was the whole point of us being there. We were fighting communism.
Right.
And so we pull out, the country's communist, and now we buy shirts from them and clothing from them.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's too many conflicts that we get involved in that national security is not at stake.
Right, right.
It's just simply not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was looking up some statistics on it. And since World War II, up through the Obama administration, we had 36 different bombing campaigns against a wide assortment of countries. 36 since World War II. Yeah, these are numbers that do not get talked about in the media. Most people are not aware of them. They're staggering numbers. And that's why the opening line is, who will, you know, all the madmen at play, who will they bomb today? That's what it's about. That's what that's about.
I see. You're talking about after World War II, were these both war and peacetime bombings?
Well, I guess it depends what you mean by peacetime.
Right, right. Not a declared war, you know, maybe military action or something.
We've not had a declared war since World War II.
Okay.
Vietnam was not a declared war. Korea was not a declared war. Afghanistan and Iraq were not. We've bombed Syria. We've bombed Somalia. None of these countries were declared wars.
Right. That's what I meant. I guess that was probably a better way of putting it, the way you did there. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really gotten to be out of control. Mm-hmm. And this is nothing new. It's been out of control for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I think they really topped themselves with this one, mm-hmm. where you spend 20 years and still lose.
Sure. Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No stability whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, that's what the song is about. It's about the people that instigate these wars, the people who profit from them. Mm-hmm. That's really the point of the song.
Sure.
And then, you know, the last verse in the song, well, first of all, I would say, if anyone hasn't seen the video, watch the video.
Yep.
It's very heavy. It's very mm-hmm. heavy. And it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. This isn't some fluffy video that you're going to feel good about after you watch it. Mm-hmm. It's meant to provoke some thought you know, what's going on here. You know, but the opening line of the third verse, it says, they bring us endless wars, but they're not doing all the dying.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As is the case. So anyway, that is what that song is about. Different people have asked me, well, why didn't you put this person or that person in the video? Well, there's so many madmen in the world, I couldn't put them all in. But
sure.
The point of the song was, I'm not making a comment on other countries and how they are run. Mm-hmm. I'm not aware of any other country that has bombed as many other countries as we have.
Sure.
That's number one. Mm-hmm. That's the first point. I'm not aware of anybody that mm-hmm. has had such a prolific, a continuous bombing campaign mm-hmm. in various spots in the world. You know, I think it's one of the things that leads mm-hmm. to instability. You know, as when I've had these discussions with people, I've brought up countries like Ireland and Switzerland mm-hmm. that have maintained positions of neutrality. Nobody's bombing those countries, and they're not bombing anybody either. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm certainly not advocating abolishing our military.
Oh,
but I think it should be more of a defense force.
Right, right. Instead of an offense, you know, definitely.
Endlessly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, there are times when it may need to be.
Sure, yeah.
But not to this degree.
Right.
And you know, somebody I really credit with having a lot of backbone to finally speak out on it is Tulsi Gabbard.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Former congresswoman.
Hawaii, I think, right?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. She, every time she speaks, she's first of all, she has her facts together.
Mm-hmm.
She's very calm. She's not shrill. She's not emotionally jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
She gives a very level-headed, clear presentation of what's going on. And she has a website, and she's been on Joe Rogan mm-hmm. before, and there's lots of clips on her. on YouTube. That's somebody else. I would encourage people to listen to her.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have to, you know, believe what I'm saying, or you don't even have to agree with it, that's fine.
Right.
But if you want to listen to somebody who was on the inside and someone who is a veteran.
Yeah, she was an officer, I believe, right? Lieutenant Colonel or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was an officer. I'm not sure what her rank was, but she was an officer. And so you're hearing it from somebody on the inside.
Hmm.
You know, I tell you an interesting side story. I had an uncle that was a World War II Marine,
mm-hmm.
and he volunteered. He worked in the shipyard. He had a deferment. Mm-hmm. He could have sat out the war, and he gave up his deferment to join the Marines.
Hmm.
This guy was he was not a peace freak by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he was over the house during the Vietnam War. And he made a comment. He said, "I can't believe we can't win that war." He said, "We're not doing anything over there but fucking around."
Hmm.
And now, you know, when you have lost a World War II Marine's support for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You're doing something wrong. And my father was a World War II veteran. He was overseas. He was in the China, Burma, India theater. He no longer believed in it. Hmm. So when you start losing the support of people like that, you know, you're on the wrong path.
Right, right.
So, you know, I just think it's a tragedy what this government has done and the people who influence this government, what they've done.
Right, right. You know?
So. You know.
Yeah, I was never in the military myself. But the point of view that I hear quite a bit of, the opinion I hear quite a bit of, is that no clear mission.
Yes. Yes.
You know, no clear mission. I mean, you know, you should have, you know, I mean, with everything that you do, you know what you want to do. There's clear goals, there's a plan for it, there's a strategy. You know, you got your,
mm-hmm.
your you know, beginning, middle, end. Follow up
and an exit strategy
and an exit strategy. And yeah. it just seems like you haven't been hearing that.
No. There's an old saying, there's a power behind the throne, mm-hmm. which what that means is there's always someone who's influencing.
Oh yeah.
The king, the mm-hmm. queen or the president. There's yeah. always someone who is the power. The unseen mm-hmm. power behind the throne, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly. Yep.
But you anyway, know, that's the gist of what that song is about.
Yep. And it's very, and again, I'll say it's very, very well done. I was, I guess, you know, we can, you know, kind of let the cat out of the bag. I did, Jim Fitzpatrick was one of my theater friends.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you came to me, you know, you were looking for, you know, male vocalist for your project. Mm-hmm. And I was just trying to rack my brain thinking of people. And I was like, wait a minute. And, you know, because I performed in Jesus Christ Superstar, Phantom of the Opera with Jim. You know, he's a good friend. He sang at my wedding. Mm-hmm. Not only at the reception, but actually as part of the ceremony. And just has an immaculate voice, just, you know, and a lot of people really, you know, admire him. And I was glad mm-hmm. that this was able to work out for you. I mean, he sounded great on there, as did the rest of the group.
Yes, so, he does.
Congratulations, you know.
That clip you sent me of him singing mm-hmm. at your wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what sold me. When I heard that,
yep.
I was like, call this guy up. Tell him I want to talk to him.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that was definitely that was all it took.
Mm-hmm.
There was that one brief clip you sent,
right?
And
right.
I listened to that, and I said, "Call him up."
Yep.
yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
So,
and you know, the thing is too that you may be surprising about that. He's never been a band guy. He was always a theater guy.
Yeah, he said he did something, I don't know, maybe 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Briefly, and then that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's been doing theater.
Yep. It's amazing. Well, I'm glad we were able to you kind of put this together here. We were going to, you know, use our networking and being friends for as long as we have, you know, we're able yes. to introduce you to somebody to for your project. You have the two other songs that you've released recently, I Knew All Your Dreams. You want to talk about that one?
Yeah, we can go over that. The point of that song, and I tell you, I was talking to Jim Osick about it, and this was after it was recorded, and we were talking about the song, and different people had contacted me and said, well, what's it about, you know? And anyway, he had the best work. He said the best word for this. He said, it's a song about a personal reckoning that for someone, you know, that it's, you know, and when you listen to the lyrics to that, you know, the opening of that, I knew all your dreams when we were young and for a while they came true. When I think about those better days, it was another life when hope was real. And I was saying that once upon a time, the you know, person I'm writing about, they, you know, obviously somebody I've known a long time and knew what their hopes and aspirations were. And for a while they worked out and then they didn't. And the chorus on that, time will wash your bones, but it will never wash your soul. Yeah, a lot of people felt that was a pretty heavy line. And so, yeah, that's, I think it's kind of self-explanatory that, you know, with the passage of time, you know, bones eventually become bare. Everything is removed from them through time. But your soul will never be cleaned just because of how you are. You know, your soul will never be cleaned. So, and then it goes on and talks about, you know, the winds had changed and doors had closed, your glory fading. So it goes into that. And then it goes into the choices that they've made. You know, that's talked about in the bridge. You know, do you ever think about what went wrong? You know, there's a line in there. This is on the, well, in the last verse. It says the worm has turned and doves will peck. Now your dreams belong to someone else. And a lot of people have picked up on that and they've asked, what does that mean? The worm has turned. And that's an old expression. I was surprised how many people hadn't heard it, but the worm has turned means someone, well, not just someone, but people who have been in some way oppressed, minimized, held down, even eventually they will rise up. Eventually they revolt. And that's what that's about, where, you know, the view was that even a lowly worm is easy to step on. They have no power. You can crush them, but even they eventually will rise up. And that's what that's about. The worm has turned. It's about either putting someone down, oppressing someone, either in real life or metaphorically, but even they will rise up. And then the line, and doves will peck. You know, the dove is a symbol of peace. It's a peace bird. It's not a bird of prey like a hawk or something, you know.
Right.
But even a dove will peck. Even a dove will defend its nest. So the worm has turned and doves will peck. That's what that's about. And it's actually a line out of a Shakespeare play. So reference to that in there. But that's what that's about. Now here's the funny part. The people who have asked me, who's it about? Who's it about? And I've never said. And then what's equally funny, conspicuously absent, are the people who have not asked who it's about. Because maybe they don't want to know. Okay. So that I kind of got a kick out of that, that there are a lot of people that did not ask, you know, because I'm sure they're, I wonder if he means me, you know, to which I would say, if you've never been that kind of person, don't worry about it. It's not you.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
You know, that's, that would be my response to that.
Right. So, right. Yeah. I've written songs too. I mean, you saw, the Uncle Moldy show that, Johnny Trotta and I had for about 15 years. And, we still do it from time to time. And people, would ask me, is that about me? And I was like, no, the thing is too, most of our songs were, comedic, silly. The majority of the stuff in these was made up anyway, but I would tell people sometimes just to kind of put them on edge, like, yeah, it's about somebody we all know, and they're like, who is it? I used to see people I knew looking around the room at each other. We're playing
and stuff. it's like, what's that common disclaimer that you see at movies? All similarities are fictional or something like that.
Any similarities of those living or dead is strictly unintentional. And
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. There was one guy who was really grilling us one time too. He's like, who's that about? Who is that? Who are you talking about? And I just said, dude, just relax, and I said, and finally I had to say to the guy, I said, I hate to bring him up, but Bill Cosby, if you ever listen to any of his albums from the 60s, where he would talk about his, the kids from the neighborhood, all that was made up. There was no Weird Harold, there was no Fat Albert, but they were just based on his imagination. And that's really all we would write about, And but people would get paranoid, like, that sounds like, if it sounds like you,
maybe it is.
Maybe you got some work to do. What can I say? So that's great. That's great. And again, that's also a very nice song. A very nice song.
If you want to play it,
Okay. Okay. Put the links to these videos in the show notes so people can click on that. That's what I'll do. That'll make it a little easier, I think. That way you can, people can go to your page on YouTube, click on your videos, and you get more hits, and YouTube does nice stuff for you. Maybe they'll send you a set of a toaster or something, for getting so many hits.
Oh, man. I tell you, you got to have like a zillion hits.
Yeah, I know.
To make any money off of there. It's not a moneymaker unless you really do have
a massive
amount of hits.
Well, the thing that gets me is, I don't know, maybe it's just, my audience or whatever. I mean, here you are, you've got about 12 or so, 15 videos on here, well-written songs, a number of the different bands you've been in over the years, quality music. I think I have a decent show. I freely admit I'm not sweeping the nation, but I think I have a decent show, and I've had some very good episodes on here. But people—it's the dumbest shit that you say, getting a million hits. And I'm like, what a good Lord. Yeah, but definitely, at the end we'll go over, what your Facebook or your YouTube. Pages and everything. It's at Greg Centers 4534, but I don't know where that comes from.
I saw that popping up on different things, and I asked the videographer that assembles my videos, and he didn't know what it was about either. The easiest thing to do, and this works every time, is I have no idea what that is. That's something that YouTube put on there. If you just go to YouTube itself and then in their search bar, just type in my name with the space in there, Greg Space Centers, and it'll come up. And then if you just click on videos when you type in my name, then a whole bunch of potential sites come up. You have to then go to, there's a purple circle with the letter G on it.
You have
to click on that, and then that takes you directly to my channel. Somebody else that warrants mention on this as well, and much more than mention, is the studio where I record these, Secret Sound Studios. John Grant's the engine owner and engineer there.
Sure,
incredible
sure.
engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible engineer. Tremendous production ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And in the whole process, in the whole process of doing these songs would not sound like they sound without mm-hmm. his expertise. And the same thing for the people who sing and play mm-hmm. drums on them.
Yeah. You know,
yep. Without them,
he's
it wouldn't
great.
Be happening.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. John Grant's great. You know, he's a Facebook friend of mine, and a lot of people, I see a lot of people on Facebook singing his praises. You know, he does a great job.
He does.
Just
yes.
a great job. So,
you
also have Irish Rain.
Yes.
Tell us about that one.
Irish Rain. There's a kind of an explanatory narrative at the beginning of the video on that. But on one of my trips to Ireland, my maternal grandparents were from Ireland. Mm-hmm. And I've been there many, many times. And I visit family that are there, cousin there and his family. Yeah, I got the inspiration while I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what the song is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being there. You know, when I am there, it's like I feel their presence. And I know that probably sounds a little flaky, but it's something, there's definitely, I just have a feeling of peace and comfort when I'm there that I don't have
mm-hmm.
anywhere else.
Yeah.
And that's what the song is about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about my family. And that's why there's no pictures of me. There's no pictures of Robin in the video and no pictures of me in the video.
Hmm.
There's a little snapshot size of us at the end of the video, but that's it. There's no pictures during the music part of the video. We're not shown because mm-hmm. I didn't even want myself in it because it's not about me.
Right.
You know, it's about my family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that's about. And there's a line in one of the verses that says, sitting in the Mayo sun. Most people who've heard it, they ask me, what are you saying? What are you saying? They don't understand. They can't tell what the word Mayo is. They don't understand what it is. And Mayo is a county mm-hmm. in Western Ireland. And that's where I was when I got the inspiration for it. So I was sitting on a patio of a house that I had rented in County Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that sitting in the Mayo sun. That's where yeah. that's where that line comes from. I had considered saying sitting in the Irish sun.
Mm-hmm.
I had thought about saying that, but I thought, you know, sitting in the Mayo sun, I just thought, well, that's more specific.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's where I was when I had the inspiration for the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what that's about.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, I'm happy for you that you you get to go over there and you really enjoy it. You know, you've told me that you've researched a lot of family members and done some genealogy and things like that. And you like to travel over and visit family and everything. And that's got to be a lot of fun. And you said that it's kind of turned out to be a good place for you to be. You know, some place that you really enjoy being. And
yes.
That's really good, you know, and that's getting to be a popular thing nowadays. In my family, my sister and I have a cousin and my mother, I didn't realize how Irish I was, until they started doing all these, not only the swab testing with the DNA, but
mm-hmm.
also actually doing research and, getting on these websites and comparing notes with relatives and people that they've met. And
Ireland has very, very good record keeping.
Yes, they do.
Now in mm-hmm. in Ireland, we never lost contact with our family. My mother had always remained in contact with the family that was over there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, her parents came to the U.S.
Right,
but long after they passed, my mother was always in contact with the family that remained there.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, she had been over to visit them as well. And several of my aunts had gone, they've been over to visit and all.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've always known of them. And, you know, the first trip I made over there to Ireland was 1996. And I contacted one of my aunts to get their phone number and their address. And because at that point my mother had passed, and I said, got the information from somebody else in the family. And I called him up and I said, hey, I'm coming over. And so when I got to Ireland, when I got over to their area, I called him and said, you know, I'll be up tomorrow. So anyhow, but I stayed in regular contact with them ever since. And I call them a few times a year, and I've been back several times to visit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, now they, on that side of the family, there's a lot of knowledge that already exists in the family that didn't have to do much in the way of research for them. I did a little more research on my father's side, which is German, but the on the Irish side, they've always been in the family. Mm-hmm. We've always been in contact with them. So,
Well, that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun to do, because it seems like more and more people have really taken that up and they're finding their roots and everything. And well, good. I'm glad it's been a good experience for you with that. I'm just looking through. I've got on my other screen here, I've got your YouTube channel. I'm just looking through your videos here, the thumbnails you have on them and everything. And I'm like, God, I know these guys. I see, boy, I tell you, we talked about, a lot of this the last time I had you on, the other bands that you were in. And it looks like you've got some material. I think is that Tail Gunner you had on here? Was that 10 Years After and Sassy? Those are both.
It's called 10 Years.
Yeah, 10 Years, yeah.
10 Years After was a band.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. I'm looking right at it. It says 10 Years, but I just said 10 Years After for some reason,
Yeah, 10 Years and Sassy, that was a recording that Fran and I did.
Yeah.
Songs that we wrote and recorded. And then the other band on the website is a band called Shockwave, which came after Tail Gunner.
Mm-hmm.
And was a heavier, it was more of, I guess you would say, well, some people would call it metal.
Yeah.
It was definitely heavier.
Right. Well, you made the 97 Underground album, which was to sneeze at, back in those days. That was definitely an accomplishment there.
And we were an unknown band. We did not have local popularity at all.
You've got to attribute that to, again, with you and your focused, songwriting and recording got you that, because, you weren't, as a matter of fact, I would talk to you about, I was still a teenager back in those days, and I was like, how come you guys don't play? And you're like, you want to play places where you can showcase original material, not get out and play Lynyrd Skynyrd all night,
Right.
And
that's one of,
and you were doing that.
That's one of the enduring problems in most marketplaces, that there's not a lot of receptiveness to original material.
Right.
Yeah.
There were places where it was, but you made no money.
It definitely wasn't a money maker.
right. And taking this, and doing this material, in New York City, and I can remember going up there for what was the name of that show? Was it called City Rock?
I think that's what it was called. Yeah,
I remember going up there. Good Lord.
It was a cable show.
It was a cable show and
music cable show. Yeah.
Right. And you did, I think it was Bad Attitude and maybe another one on that. And they filmed it and then they interviewed the band afterwards. God, I remember that well.
Yeah. I think we did like 15 or 20 minutes worth. We did a few songs on that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, I don't remember what they were.
Right. Right. Do you still have the video anywhere?
I don't.
No. That would be a good one to put up on YouTube.
It would. You know? I have no idea. I have no idea if anybody has it. I don't know if anybody from, I mean, if anybody were likely to have it, it would probably be me, because I've always kind of been the historian and the archivist with this stuff.
Yeah.
Like all the pictures you see on there, they're all pictures that I have.
Oh yeah.
That have, you know, that I had put on the videos.
Right.
So I've got a considerable amount of photos from that era. And, I don't know who has the video. If anyone.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. Who knows? Well, maybe it can be found. Folks, my listeners, get on it. This is a scavenger hunt. Look at City Rock, New York City, 1980s. Get on it and see if we can find a video Shockwave. Out there somewhere of it. Shockwave was the band. And there was another band you were on there with, too. They were a completely different kind of band, and I forget what they were called, but they were
There was another band. They were kind of a new wave-ish band.
Yes, I think. They were. Yeah.
Yeah. And no idea what their name was now.
I know. Yeah. Good Lord.
The stuff I do now. I mean, it's not a moneymaker. I'm not out performing this anywhere.
Right.
It's a money pit, you know, because it takes a lot of money to do all this. But, but I do it for the love of it. That's really,
exactly. That's the reason I do it.
I have a blurb at the end of the videos that says this song is available for publishing and performance offers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what I would rather do. I mean, it would be great if I would enjoy going out to play it, but that would take an immense amount of work.
Right.
It would take an immense amount. I wouldn't rule it out, but I'd just say it would take an immense amount of work.
Right. Right.
And you have to have people that are interested in and available to do that. That's always another problem with bands. So, you know, for now I do it just for my own satisfaction. And, you know, if somebody were interested in one of the songs, great. Mm-hmm. Not just the new stuff, but the old stuff. You know, if there's an up and coming band there's a lot of bands where the players are good, but there's no good songwriter in the band.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see that quite often. They're good musicians, but nobody in the band is really a standout songwriter.
Sure.
So somebody like that needs songs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, record companies, there's a lot of bands that they go that route. The band looks good and they play well, but they don't have material, and the record company is like, no problem, we'll get your material.
Right.
You know, and that's what they do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, Greg, it's been great having you on again here. Folks, the material is excellent. I really think you'll enjoy listening to it. And again, the YouTube page is just, you know, really a trip through your career, you know, the material that you've done in various bands that you have, and it's all there for you to enjoy, folks. You know, look up Greg Sinners on YouTube, look for the purple circle with the G in the middle of it. You could also try looking at Greg Sinners 4534 if that narrows it down, but if not, you know, you'll definitely look up Greg Sinners and see it, and I'll definitely put links to it in the show notes. I'll put links to the three videos we talked about today, all the Madman at Play, I Knew All Your Dreams, and Irish Rain. Those will be in the show notes as well, so you can click on that and go right to the episode, or right to the video itself and hear it. And I'll also, like I said, you can find all the other material, over the years on here. So excellent. Well, Greg, thank you again for coming on, and it was great to talk to you again. It's always good to catch up.
Always fun to do.
And thank you all for listening, folks. It's been Greg Sinners tonight on Foul Players Radio, and we will see you next time.
Thank you.
Hello, this is John Piatt,
Kevin Schmidt,
and Jerry Bozick,
and we're August, a little band from Virginia. You can hear our story, other stories from the legendary Baltimore, D.C. music scene, and much, much more with Michael Spedden on Foul Players Radio. You can find it at www.foulplayersradio.com, on YouTube, and wherever you find podcasts online. Keep rocking.
Hi, this is Paul Castiglia, and you're listening to Foul Players Radio, the one-stop shop for all your pop culture needs.
This is Just Bill.
This is Rat Bastardson.
And this is Joe Poodle from Red Dye Number 9, and you are listening to Foul Players Radio.